Please do take your seats. You are really welcome this morning. It's great to see you. I hope... Just go back to that last chorus, please. Yeah, it's where it says... Yeah, that's the one. I wonder if that's where you're at this morning. Set this church on fire. Your church, God's church, but this church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. This morning, we look at making more disciples. A command to us as Christians. An expectation of us. That it's something we do. And is that your prayer this morning? That this church will catch on fire with the Holy Spirit to win more people for God's kingdom. That's what we look at this morning. Here's some words from Psalm 8. And this is the Message translation. God, brilliant God, yours is a household name. Nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence atheist babble. I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handsome sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? Yet we've so narrowly missed being God's, bright with Eden's dawn light. You put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis charge, made us lords of sheep and cattle, even animals out in the wild. Birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean depths. God, brilliant God, your name echoes around the world. We look at this new habit, as I said this morning. Another month has flown by, and we come to something else to consider as part of our journey as Christians. Last month, we were looking at fellowship and exploring what that meant to be in fellowship with each other, but also to be in fellowship with God. And this month, we move on to that concept of how do we take it to that next step? What's that expectation on us of making more disciples? We're going to use a song this morning. The band's going to help us with it. And Martin and Matthew are then going to come and help us with prayers. We're going to use this song a couple of times today. So don't feel like you've missed your opportunity if you want to respond this time. You can respond if you want to during this song. But we will come back to it later. I think this is a really significant song. Because I think when we talk about making disciples, I've been really challenged in these last few weeks as to what my discipleship journey looks like. Where am I at in my relationship with God? What do I need to get right before I can go on to that next stage of discipling others? I'm going to stay seated for this song. The band will give us an introduction, some beautiful words. All to Jesus I surrender. And we'll sing this and take us into an attitude of prayer. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. Here. I wanted to do something a little bit different this morning with the prayer time. It's something we do on a Thursday night with our Explorers group. That's, if anybody didn't know, that's Thursday night 5 through till 6:30, with the age group of 4 through to 11-year-olds. So I just need you to finish this sentence. Thank you, God, for ... It might be something simple. Something simple like, thank you God for breakfast in bed. Or it might be a bit more serious, like, thank you God for good news at the hospital this week. But everyone should have something to thank God for. Like the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. I'm going to bring the mic round and we'll let a few of you share this morning, if you'd like. For you to share your thank you prayers this morning. But Matthew wanted to go first. So we're just going to get Matthew to start us off. You ready?
Go on then. Thank you, God, for helping us at home.
Okay. Should we go and find somebody else? Who do you think might want to help?
Thank you, God, for our health and our lovely families.
Thank you, God, for all the boys and girls who come to see us.
Anybody on this side?
Thank you, God, for all my friends.
Thank you, God, for this wonderful church that we can come to every Sunday morning and worship you.
Thank you, God, for letting me get here.
Thank you, God, for this wonderful weather this morning.
I'll just repeat that in case anybody didn't hear. It was thank you, God, for this wonderful weather this morning. Anybody here?
Thank you, God, for the fellowship within this building.
Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation.
Anybody?
Thank you, God, for friends and family.
We've got some hiding around the corner here, Matthew. Let's go and find out. I think we're getting away with it. Anybody around here?
Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We felt him here with us today. Thank you.
Anybody else? Oh.
Thank you, God, for Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, God, for the ultimate gift when you gave Jesus your Son to die on that cruel cross to save us from our sin.
Thank you, God, for our family and the comfort and hurt that we all feel.
We haven't had anyone in the band yet.
Thank you, God, for families.
Thank you, God, for your grace in each one of our lives. Amen.
We thank you, God, for this church and all that it means to us.
Thank you, God, for the amazing children that we have as part of this fellowship. And I just pray that we are always grateful for them and that we continue to encourage them. Amen.
Thank you for that. I didn't expect that response. Thank you. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for our church family here in Felixstowe. Thank you that they have found some blessings here today. And I pray that as we learn more about the holy habits, that we may implement these ideas and be a growing church together. Amen.
Thank you, gents. That was great. Really appreciate you doing that. And will you assure Martin and Gemma and those that are there regularly of your prayers on Thursdays particularly? Martin, was that 5 till 6:30? 5 till 6:30. So if you find yourself in that moment thinking, what do I do now? Pray. Pray for that group of children that are coming in. I saw a great photo of them with somebody from the police recently. I got a bit worried when I first saw that come up. What are we teaching them? But it was great. Some good community engagement. Thank you for leading us this morning. We're going to watch now our final self-denial video. We've been watching these over the last few weeks. And later in our meeting this morning, we will take part in our giving towards this. I don't know about you, but one of the things that's inspired me with this year is that it's been somebody who is local in that context talking about what they're involved in. Quite often some of us white, English, middle-class people get sent over to that country to present the video. Now that's great, but it's been lovely to see somebody from, an officer from that territory sharing what they're doing in their community. So let's watch that final video and hopefully inspire us in our giving today. Thanks, Ewan.
Hello and welcome to Burkina Faso. Today we are heading to Poissin, one of the suburbs of the city. Poissin is about 5 miles from the center. It is one of the capital's poorer communities. Our work began here 2 years ago when we built a training center. Today we are running some practical workshop for the women in the community.
This is Poissin community where the Salvation Army is having a sewing project where the ladies are participating. And here is Lieutenant Kanzie Beatetos, and she's a great blessing to us.
The equipment we have here is quite basic, but the women are learning a lot and have made some very good items with what they have. Some of the cloth they use here has been made by the women in Bonnerville. When we started here, we were running literacy projects with the aim of helping some of the women from the local community who missed out on school to learn to read and write. Women who graduated from that program are now part of the workshop.
Really, it helps my family. I can sew for my children. I can sew for myself, even for my husband.
I think what the Salvation Army has done is really good, and it's helping people who don't have much money to learn a useful skill.
Just like in Bonnerville, the founding of this project is not from self-denial. Self-denial founds the infrastructure that makes a project like this possible. The population of Ouagadougou is growing and people are moving to this area, but there is no electricity and running water in this part of the city. As in many parts of Africa, collecting water is a job which is done by the woman. All the water has to be fetched from a standpipe which is 2 miles away. We would like to dig a borehole here that will make a big difference, not only for our work, but for the whole community. This afternoon, the workshop will focus on tie-dyeing cloth. This is craft dyeing. We have got 2 colors. The first one has been done a day before yesterday, and today we are putting the second one, which is the green one. At the moment, this is an outpost. Lieutenant Kanzi has been here for just 4 months. She is the first of 3 newly trained officers who were born here in Burkina Faso.
J'aide les femmes à changer leur vie.
I help the women to change their lives, first of all by offering advice, and then from teaching sewing. I advise them when they're in difficult times, when they've got problems, and I'll do my best to help them when they lack basic needs.
There are 8 Salvationists who meet here every Sunday. We hope that soon there will be enough to start a court. At the end of the afternoon, there is the chance for the woman to show off the cloth they have made. In next week's film, we will be back in Bonnerville for Sunday worship. Burkina Faso style.
Wow. Should we do it like that next Sunday as well? Hey, why not? Why not? Absolutely. So we will have chance later on, as Simon said, to give in our self-denial service. And I hope you've maybe prayed over what you have put in that envelope. If you haven't put anything in an envelope yet and you would like to give, there will be some spares around, I'm sure, at the time. So maybe just have a moment to think about that and to think about what we can give to help those people in Burkina Faso. Next, we're going to have our scripture reading, which is going to be brought to us by Bev. And then after that, do we have a children's song today, Kirsty? Oh, we do. Wonderful. So we've got that to look forward to. So Bev will come and read us the Bible, and then the children will sing to us. Thank you.
What an inspiring video. I don't know how I follow that, really. I'm reading from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. And it's called the Great Commission. And I've just lost it. When the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Amen."
was great. Thank you so much. We had a few shy ones there, but I'm sure they were singing in their hearts. We had some of the adults actually doing the actions as well. I was very impressed. Well done, all. Well done. Okay. We're going to let the children go out now to Sunday school. Before they do, I'll just say a short prayer for you. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, as I already prayed earlier, I just pray that we will encourage these children in this church. I pray that we will be a really good example to them. And I just pray now that as they go out to do their teaching, that they will learn more about your wonderful love and that you can be such a great friend to them. I just pray, Lord, for those who are teaching them today, I pray that you will inspire them and give them the right words to say. I pray, too, for all the children that come through these doors during the week, and I especially pray for Explorers on a Thursday, that work will continue to grow and continue to be something for our community that they can feel a part of. Lord, I just pray these prayers in and through your precious name. Amen. Okay, so guys, you can go off to Sunday school now. Youth, I think you're staying in. Is that right? And we'll take up your offering now. And while we take up the offering, the band will play. And they are playing a march today called The Pioneers. Thank you.
Yes, but will you be there when the saints go marching in? Will you be there? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have of giving in our offering, and we ask that you will receive our gifts once again. We realize there's so much work to do here in Felixstowe so that more people will know about your love. So may we use it wisely for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Amen. Tea and coffee will be served as normal in the community hall following worship. And there are extras. There are scones and cream and jam. And, oh, I've spared no expense at all for you. So if you want to join with us, please come through to the community hall. This evening, we will have a meeting at 5:30, which I shall be conducting. It's a meeting that is slightly different. It's entitled, Do People Matter? And it's something that's been on my heart for a long time about this particular core. When I say I've calculated between 40 and 45 people who have left this fellowship within the last 5 years, many of them are walking around the streets of Felixstowe, and we tend to class them as they used to belong to us. They don't used to belong to us. They matter. They matter. And it's part of our discipleship to invite them to come along. And I found in a survey that 61% of people who were unchurched said if somebody invited them back, they'd go. So there are people out there waiting. We know names of people who no longer are in our fellowship. Tonight will be a slightly unusual type of meeting, but we'll be trying to fathom out how we can make these people matter again. So that's tonight at 5:30. If you wish to join us, we're very pleased for you to do so. I've got a message. First Sat Cafe is on Saturday. The First Sat Cafe, please. Notice here, I'll read it. It's on your bulletin. PAT testing will take place in the building, this building, on March the 10th. Please make sure all electrical items are out of locked cupboards and accessible for testing. If you bring your own electrical item into the building to be used during the week, please speak to Andy Cracknell before Tuesday, the 10th of March. You'll see a list on the board for a great event which takes place on Saturday, the 4th of April, entitled That Was the Week That Was, with Major Noel Wright. And it's about a meal, so please have a look on the notice board for that. Trish Binge reached the terrible age of 80. And yesterday, a large amount of friends and family met to celebrate it. And there wasn't many presents given, not because they didn't like Trish, but she would like people to give money so she could send it towards the Australian Fire Fund. And pleased to know that £400 was raised at her birthday party. And thank you very much for the gift. And that will go to the Australian Fund. Thank you very much indeed for listening.
Thanks, John. That was the week that was, is Major Noel's title. You might remember Major Noel. He came with the International Staff Band when they visited here a couple of years ago, and a really challenging Sunday morning service that he led with us. All that he has said to me is, we will visit some of the places that Jesus visited in his final days and hours. It's a lead into Holy Week. He will be here for Palm Sunday morning as well. But I expect it to be a really creative and an imaginative evening. So a meal together, which is free, and then some teaching and something creative with Noel afterwards. There's a sheet on the board now, so please do sign up. You'll understand if you've worked with Carolyn before that Carolyn is all for detail, and myself and Carolyn have got to meet really quickly to talk about food. So please do sign up quickly so we know if you want to join us. I certainly don't want to get on the wrong side of Carolyn. Thank you. We'd love you to sign up for that and join us. We're going to ask the songsters to sing, please. I think Neil is out of retirement. So Neil is going to lead the songsters this morning, and they're going to sing for us a great song, Go Forth in His Name. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. Thank you, songsters. I hope it sounded as good out there as it sounded back here, because we were sat behind them and it sounded fantastic this morning. Thank you. Thank you for that really strong message. We're going to take that opportunity now to bring our self-denial offering. You've watched those videos over a number of weeks. I hope you've been inspired by what is going on elsewhere in the world through the Salvation Army and its ministry. And part of this is our opportunity to give and to support some of those types of projects that have been highlighted to us. So we're going to sing. I'm going to ask you to stand and sing. John's going to help us. And as we go through these verses, perhaps we can just suggest those of you on my left, so left side aisle and our guys over here, if you'd like to come forward in the first verse or two. And those on the right and then the band, if you would like to come forward, just as we place those envelopes. And as you place it down this morning, perhaps you'll just think about what's in that envelope and what difference that money may make to those far less fortunate than us. Let's sing together, if you'd like to stand. Thank you, John. Father God, we commit that money that we've placed this morning into the hands of those who have responsibility for it, and we trust and pray that that will be used to really extend your kingdom, to bring encouragement, to see new projects form, to see new opportunities to share your love with people elsewhere in this world. We ask that all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please do take your seats. A really wise man once said, an important reason for Christian fellowship is its impact on non-believers. The love Christians have for one another can influence others towards faith in Jesus Christ. Do you remember that being said? It was said last week here by John Ellison. An important reason for Christian fellowship is its impact on non-believers. The love Christians have for one another can influence others towards faith in Jesus Christ. What a challenge. And in those verses that we read in Acts 2, which have been our key verses for these holy habits studies, we read that God added daily to their number. Can you imagine that? I struggle to imagine that. I'm part of a generation that hasn't seen that. I've experienced high moments, perhaps at things like summer schools or big events, where you get a number of people commit and say, yes, I want to sign up to the way of Jesus and to try to be Christ-like. But I haven't seen that situation of people being added daily. Some of you may. Some of you may have been so blessed and privileged to have been part of that. You can say what you like about whether it's because in the Sally Army a band went out and marched and people followed the band back and we had a holiness meeting and we had a salvation meeting and we had 16 open airs and we did all of it. What I haven't seen myself is that adding daily to the number. And I tell you something, I long for that. I would love to see that happen. I would love to see us in a situation where this place is going, oh my word, what do? We haven't got enough chairs. We need to get rid of the stage because we've got to do rows and rows of chairs. But that isn't quite where we're at this stage in this country. When I was reading through again and rereading the Holy Habits book that this has been based on, here's some of the things that Andrew Roberts suggests should be the aims of discipleship. That we should see kingdom transformation. I'm not going to explain all of these because we'll run out of time. That we should see transformed character. A holy humanity. A holy struggle. I wonder if any of you are in a holy struggle currently. He also suggests that we should see people who are whole life disciples and full life disciples. And there is a difference, and I really challenge you to read the book. An aim of discipleship, to have a heavenly destination. To be part of a transformational community and to aim high. And he goes on to say this. So what are we aiming for when we practice the holy habit of discipleship? We're looking to nurture adventurous followers of Jesus who, as they share in his mission and live out their discipleship in their day-to-day lives, are being transformed into his holy, down-to-earth likeness. People who live full, attractive, colorful, creative lives, all supported by transformational communities full of life and grace. Exemplars of the heavenly kingdom that is both an experience to be realized now and the final destination of the adventure. So when we think about some of the things that God asks of us in Scripture, what might be some of the things that God says that we must do? You're allowed to take part this morning. What does God say in the Bible? What are some of the things that he says we must do? Some of his commands. Wow, thank you, Shirley. Anyone else? Fantastic. Heal the sick. So many different things. But here's just three of them that are really simple. Love God. Love others. Make disciples. Sounds pretty simple like that. We realize it isn't. But love God. Love others. Make disciples. Those words that Bev read to us, so well known, I'm sure, for those of us who have been in and around church for many years. Called the Great Commission. And believed to be some of the final words that Jesus shared with his disciples. So, if he was going back to heaven and these were some of the final words he shared in that earthly human form, it feels like they've probably got a bit of importance. They're probably quite crucial. Now, as I read it, Jesus didn't say, go and find a comfortable church and enjoy lots of lovely social events. And I don't read, go and build a church that's cozy for you and your friends and that will never change. I don't read, try and do nice things for other people when you can. What did he say? He said, go and make disciples. Now, Annette took me out this week. We were given a one-evening pass. The children were looked after for us, and she took me as a part of a Christmas present to the Regent, and we saw the comedian called Milton Jones. I know there were a few people who were there. He's actually a Christian, so it was great. It was great to sit in a comedy set that was completely clean. Really unusual, but fantastic, so funny. But there was a young man who was his warm-up act. And I'm feeling a little bit like that this morning, because he came out and said, "Hello, Ipswich!" And everyone just went... And it took him, I don't know, I'm guessing now, maybe 6-7 minutes to really get into his stride and get people to respond. He wanted that response because he actually really fed off it. And he was very, very funny when he got going. Not quite so clean, but very funny when he got going. So this morning, are you in a place for response or not? I'm trying to suss that out, because if you're not, I'm okay and I won't go there. But what I'm going to suggest this morning is, if you're with me, when I say the Great Commission, perhaps you can come back with not the great suggestion. Should we try? This is called the Great Commission, not
the Grace.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well done, Felix, though. Here we go. It's not an optional extra for us, this, okay? It's the very reason for our Christian faith and the church's existence, to go and make disciples. And sadly, it seems in the last few decades, particularly in this country and in the Western world, that perhaps isn't seen so much as of a priority, or we're certainly not seeing the fruit from that. I've looked at some thoughts that have come from a minister in a Church of England church somewhere in London, and I heard this and I read some of his notes, and I've pulled some stuff from it and put some of my spin on it. So I don't necessarily agree with everything that he said in it. I've struggled with some of that. But one of the things he said was, to grow a friendly community, yes. To enjoy time together, yes. To do good in the local community, yes. To feed the poor and support the vulnerable, yes. But to actually go and make disciples, where does that sit on the agenda of the church? See, the thing is, I see, personally, enjoying time together, doing good in the local area, supporting the poor and the vulnerable, I see that all as a massive part of the journey of discipleship. I see that as the way that we create what we talked about last month of fellowship. And my reflection for me personally on this has been that all of those great deeds must come from a heart of wanting to disciple, wanting to share the love of God, wanting to see people come to know him in the way that I do. If we want to move into that next phase, if you want to call it, in community life with church and this mission-shaped church, as we call it, perhaps we need to focus more on creating that environment in which individuals and the whole family can be hallmarked for these three imperatives from God. Love God, love others, and make disciples. And the early church was able to do that. Why? It tells us in Acts 2, because they relied on the Holy Spirit. They relied massively on the Holy Spirit and its power. The more and more we inherit those characteristics of faith ourselves, the more that I believe this church will become what God longs for this church to be. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll develop a deep and real passion for God, and that passion and energy and enthusiasm will spill over into the local community, and people will increasingly be led to God themselves through the witness of this church. Go and make disciples. The Great Commission... Next time, be with me next time. People will be attracted not by what we do, but who we are. What we do is important. It is important. And what we provide for people is really important. And getting the band out on the triangle is really important. But I really do believe that people will stay from that attraction because of who we are. People need to know that we're far from perfect, that we're a community on a journey, and that as vulnerable as we are, as far short as we often fall, we're heading in the right direction with God. Go and make disciples. The Great Commission. Good. Okay. Three very quick things from those verses. All authority is given to Jesus, not to us, if you read those verses back. I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. That's what Jesus says. He's utterly unique. He has and still has all the authority in heaven and earth. something that Matthew stresses through his gospel. If you look at chapter 7, 29, he says, Jesus taught as one who had authority. In chapter 9, he says, he claimed that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and so on. Jesus has the authority. We don't. This is not our church. This is Jesus' church. And it's Jesus' mission for Felixstowe. The work of the kingdom is not ours as individuals. It belongs to Jesus. Yet we are invited to be part of that. How exciting is that? You're invited to be part of the mission of God in this area. Our task is always to seek the will of God and, to the best of our ability, work with him to build the type of church that he wants. Your preferences and my preferences are not the issue. The issue is, what does God want Felixstowe Salvation Army to be? You ready? Go and make disciples. The Great Commission. Thank you for going with this. You're doing me good. All authority is given to Jesus, not to us. Point two. We are to make disciples, not converts. You might struggle with that. You and I are not called to convert people to Christianity. What a responsibility that would be. God does the converting. He absolutely chooses to use us in that process. How many, I imagine, of you have had that thrill and that privilege to share with somebody as they've committed their life to Jesus, to pray with them, to sit with them, and then to walk with them? That wonderful task of discipleship in that way. But God does the converting. But once people have come to faith, we've been given that responsibility to care for one another, to encourage one another, to nurture each other as we journey towards God as disciples. And that is something altogether different. But we must take that responsibility seriously. So I ask you, as I ask myself, what are you doing to encourage other people in the Christian faith? What role are you taking here in this church to support discipleship? Are you bringing positivity, kind words, and encouragements to this place? Or are you lost in the grumbling, complaining, and negativity? Go and make disciples. The Great Commission. Close. We play our part if we constantly and consistently choose the way of love, the way of encouragement, and the way of positivity. All authority is given to Jesus, not to us, and we are to make disciples, not converts. And then we are disciples ourselves, not dominators. As we seek to disciple other people, we do so from a position of weakness, not authority. We do so from humility and vulnerability, not strength. And let's be really honest, I've been asked to stand here once a month and introduce these themes to you. But there are so many more of you in this place that are far wiser than me. There are so many of you that have studied theology on a completely different level to me. There are many of you who have led ministry for your whole adult life. But I am on the same journey as you. I have probably similar doubts, similar fears, weaknesses, and I mess up just as much. I'm still very much a disciple, as all of us who believe are. And I'm not better because I have this position to stand here at this time. We're all on this journey together, and we're all amateurs in God. As we make disciples, we do that from a position of recognizing that we're all learning together. So let's be prepared to learn from each other, as well as teach those who we meet. Our responsibility under God to love him, to love others, and to make disciples. The authority belongs to Jesus, not to us. We're not called to convert people, but we're called to walk humbly with one another as we journey deeper into God. Towards the end of the Holy Habits book, there's a section that shares some information about different projects that exist. And there's a Fresh Expression of Church up in Gateshead. And they talk about this a lot. Bless, belong, and believe. They have an emphasis on the place of blessing in living out the commission to make disciples. And again, Andrew Roberts tried to summarize some of this. And he says, as we live gladly and generously, blessing others, serving, sharing life and food, so the opportunities come to invite people to experience the koinonia. Do you remember that? Koinonia, the Greek root of fellowship. Come to invite people to experience the koinonia of belonging. In this experience of welcoming community, those who are curious or even skeptical can begin to explore the person, the teaching, and the call of Jesus. As their sense of being at home or belonging grows, so belief forms and commitment comes. Do we have an expectation of growth in this place? This is what this fresh expression of church says. We expect to grow. We expect new people to join. We expect to get bigger and to multiply. Felix, the Salvation Army, do we have an expectation of growth as we meet with people and we look to disciple people in their relationship with Jesus? Let's just watch, please, you in a very, very short video. As I was finishing my preparation for this morning, something popped up on the internet like it does sometimes. And you may have heard of the guy called Mike Pilavarci, known well for founding and creating the Soul Survivor Church and movement that has impacted so many people. But he quoted Eugene Peterson. And the Eugene Peterson quote said, "Discipleship is a process of paying more and more attention to God's righteousness and less and less attention to our own." And Mike Pilavarci's summary of that was, in other words, it's better to look up than to look in. The more I adore him, the more I become like him. So this morning there's an opportunity to respond. As I said to you right at the beginning, there's been a real sense for me in these weeks that, yes, we want to go out. Yes, we want to reach people and disciple others. Yes, we do, but we've got to be in the right place too. We've got to be in that place where our relationship is healthy with Jesus. So we're going to go back to that song we sang before we prayed, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And what I'm going to suggest this morning is, as the words come up, if a verse resonates with you, would you read that verse out loud for us? Would you do that this morning, please? There's five verses, so there's good opportunity. And when somebody's read the verse, what I suggest we do is that we sing the chorus together. And if in these moments you feel you need to respond in terms of your relationship with Jesus, then take that opportunity. We're so fortunate in the Salvation Army. We have this place called the Mercy Seat, the place of prayer, where you can come And you can publicly declare where you stand with Jesus. And somebody will come and pray with you if that's what you wish. You don't have to come here. You can do that exactly in your seat where you are. You can do that once you've gone home. But there is something beautiful about this place. And knowing that when you come forward and you kneel, there's a whole family of people praying for you as you do that. And I ask you to do that if anybody responds this morning. So let's look at that first verse. There it is on the screen. Is there anybody this morning that would happily read that because it resonates with them? Let's sing the chorus together. Eyes. It's a big ask, isn't it? To say, I surrender all? Because that's everything. That's not just, I surrender myself on a Sunday morning for an hour and a half. Or when I perhaps meet in a small group. That's, this really matters. This means something to me. God, I am completely and utterly yours, and I will do what you call me to do and tell me to do. That's what we're saying when we sing those words. Verse 4.
As we sing those words, for some, that could be a real challenge. For others, a real joy. But we just thank you, Lord, because we know that your Holy Spirit is amongst us. And we just thank you so much for your presence in that way. Lord, I pray that we have been challenged this morning to think about discipleship. To think about you in a different way. How we can be your hands and your feet. How we can show your love. Not by doing anything big, just through the small things, Lord. And that we know that we can come to you in prayer at any time. Lord, I just thank you so much for that gift. That gift of prayer, that gift of communication that we can have with you. And with other people. Help us, Lord, to live out your love, your will, your joy, and your peace. Help us to share that with those that will need it. Everybody needs that, Lord, and I just pray that we will be used to show that in this community. I would pray that you will open people's hearts and minds to know you, and that they would want to join a fellowship where there is love, where there is joy, and where there is peace. Lord, I just bring those who are praying to you now at the front here and all of us who are praying in our hearts where we might be. And Lord, I just pray that you would hear and answer all of these prayers that we are sharing with you at this time. Amen.
Amen. While people are still praying, we're just going to go back to that song we used earlier when we brought our money. Ewan, we're going to go back to We Are the Hands of Christ, please. Let's sing some of these verses together while people pray. And let's be praying for them as well.
As we close our worship today, I pray that this will be something for you to consider over the next few weeks about making more disciples, alongside remembering all the teaching that we have had about all of the previous holy habits and making it all fit together into helping us to be a better person, a better community, a better church of people. So as we go out with a message. And that message is that we show love and that we want to be God's hands and God's feet and we want to be God's soldier. So let's stand together and sing the song, God's Soldier Marches As to War. Might sound a very old-fashioned song, and some of these words always used to really make me think, what on earth are they talking about? But we're marching as to war. We're on the march. A soldier on an alien shore, a soldier true, a soldier who will keep the highest aims in view. Keep the Lord in view at all times, and he will help us through. Let's stand together and we'll sing this song straight through. The band will help us and give us an introduction. Thank you. Amen. And a benediction together. This is the God we adore. our faithful, unchangeable friend whose love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. It is Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Amen. Thank you for joining in worship.